Welcome back into Sports Talk, the first day of October, and that means NBA season is just around the corner. We'll be starting the regular season at the end of the month. Training camp going on right now. Talking all things Pelicans, and we're covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. Chris Dotson joins us right now here on WWL. How you been doing, Chris?
Oh, man, been doing great. Ready for the season to start. Hope y'all been doing just as good as the rest of the team sounded yesterday.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it, man, and definitely looking forward to this season. Another Pel squad coming into fruition after a 49-point win season. Me and Charlie kind of talked about it a bit. Seems to get overlooked a lot what the team was able to accomplish last season. Obviously, the way it ended, nobody really cared for. It was a bit of a disappointment. You dealt with the injury with Zion Williamson at the end of the year. But overall, I think that your hopes and dreams and aspirations for this team have to be pretty high going into this season, especially what they can do in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, and I might date myself here, the original Bad News Bears. This Pelicans team, from just talking with them, I did a feature on Trey Jemison a couple weeks ago that come out. It's kind of like at the Bad News Bears. Yeah, they got the trophy for a 49-win season, which is great in New Orleans. But this locker room feels like they're throwing that back and they want some more, and that's just exciting to hear from a fan perspective.
Looking at, you know, Zion Williamson going into this season, hard to believe it's now year six for him. Obviously missed the season of play due to injury, but 24 years old now, and I think we saw it last season, obviously, too, that maturity is there. He really cares about his conditioning, looking to improve his game even more going into this year. Really excited to see what this season brings about in the development and the maturation of Zion on and off the court.
Yeah, hey, look, I got hired to come on and start Pelicans coverage, you know, when Zion got drafted. I mean, okay. As soon as he was drafted, somebody called up, hey, we're here. Yeah, it is hard to believe it's 6 years, but he's still just 24. And I think people have not given him enough credit for growing into the job, so to speak. And then if you want to look at how he approached this summer, he was finally healthy, but he was also a father for the first time. And anybody out there listening, I'm not a pop, but it sounds like that'll really change a man, and I think that kind of got his attention. He, you know, went into the offseason knowing that this season he wants the playoffs again, but there's going to be a lot more pressure because he is 24 and 6 years and all that. He's still a young man. There's a lot of pressure on him, but I think he's finally at a juncture in his life where he knows how to handle all of those responsibilities better than ever, and that'll pay off for New Orleans in the long run.
Chris, the addition of DeJounte Murray, we talked to you about it when obviously the trade went down with Atlanta. It was a huge blockbuster moment for this squad. But now that he's here and we're finally getting our first look at him at training camp, you know, all the early reports were how many balls he was kind of getting deflected on defense. And I know that a lot of Hawks fans will kind of undersell his defensive prowess. And that just kind of makes me annoyed because he was playing next to someone like Trae Young, who quite literally is a traffic cone defensively. So, but playing next to someone like Herb Jones, and we'll get kind of into the lineup questions with you because I know that Willie Green's been answering a bunch of them early on since the start of media day and then obviously day one of training camp as well. But the potential for a defensive backcourt of DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones is just really exciting to me.
I mean, is there a better one in the world? Literally, is there a better one in the world? And I would have a hard time finding. Maybe in Minnesota if Ant and McDaniels are doing their thing. But if Murray and Jones are really going at it on defense, there are going to be some nights where I don't think teams are going to reach 90 points if both of those guys go in with a point to prove. And we've seen it before in the NBA, even in this pace and space era. Some teams can just have a stinker of a night. I think there's going to be a lot of teams having stinkers of a night, because Murray and Jones is just going to have them locked up in jail.
More on curious with the Brandon Ingram situation. How are things going to progress going into this year? Because I know there's still a lot of questions. Is he going to be sticking around? They're going to maintain him with a spot on this roster? And just even if they do end up keeping him around, where does he fit kind of in the flow of this offense?
I'm glad y'all asked these two questions back to back, because Murray and Ingram, I mean, look, when Lonzo was in town, Ingram was at almost six threes a game. We finally have another point guard again. We're going to have to give him a little bit of credit that there's a blank slate. He talked about how Team USA gave him so much trouble. Kerr kind of got him off his confidence. His game wasn't right. Last season, the team, I mean, they had a bunch of injuries. It was still going to be hard to get some rhythm even in a 49-win season. But with Murray here and Ingram on the wing, and listening to him talk at training camp just a few minutes ago, It sounds like he's going to find his way into more three-pointers just because there will be that much talent around him that puts him in those spots. The last few years, he's had to put himself in his own spots, and nobody here can blame him for wanting to get to where he's most comfortable. We all do the same thing in our jobs. Get to where you're most comfortable and try and get paid. Last season, that's what Brandon Ingram tried to do. He didn't get paid. He didn't get to the spots the team wanted him to, but I think now he's got the supporting cast, the support system around him, and Murray's setting the table for him, that he'll be able to go ahead and go out to that three-point line 2-3 more times a game, and that's all the Pelicans really need.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Chris. And then, you know, the sharpshooter with Trey Murphy. Obviously, the Pelicans extended Herb Jones last offseason. They extended, you know, Jose Alvarado basically over the weekend. They locked down two of the key members, obviously, of that historic 2021 draft class, the best in Pelicans history. But there's still that one last remaining member that needs to get paid, and that's Trey Murphy. And obviously, Chris, we've talked to you about this a bunch. He's a core member and a core building block of this team and roster. He's talked ad nauseum about how much he loves being here, how much he loves his teammates. They want to get something done. They want to figure something out. But there is the monetary aspect of it. And I know that this was pretty interesting to hear him kind of compare his situation to Devin Vassell in San Antonio, where Vassell basically was he's not a max player necessarily, and Trey Murphy isn't either as far as getting that rookie scale contract extension, but you're still looking at $100+ million for this player. So it's some logistics behind it that have to be figured out. But the Pelicans obviously want to and need to get something done with Trey Murphy before that deadline, which I think is on October 21st.
Yeah, it's on the 21st. They have plenty of time to figure out this number. There may even be a few other contracts that hit on the market that the Pelicans can use as a data point. But look, Trey Murphy, it's going to be hard for him to turn down $120 million for 4 years. I mean, his mom would get on Twitter. His mom's been in the press room to call him out for missed free throws. I don't think he can walk in and say, "Mom, they come have me for 116. I wanted $121 million." I think I know how that conversation is going to go and that contract will get signed. And that's where I think it's going to wind up, is a little bit less than what Brandon Ingram was making this year, somewhere in the $29 to $32 million range, 4 year, $120 million, call it a day, call it in, ring it up. And I don't think anybody can complain about that, because that contract will still look very good at $30 million in 2 years when the cap is just so much bigger and they've got so much more space to work with.
Another guy, hard to believe, Willie Green era, started in 2021. Look where we are now. What are things that the coach has worked on, I guess, to improve his game, his lineup rotations, as we go into, it feels like this is such a critical year for this Pel squad.
It's real critical. And I mean, we've seen Willie Green fight his way through 1-12, 3-14. He's fought his way through some stuff. And I think if y'all haven't seen it, Brandon Ingram, I believe, leaked the starting lineup. We'll be that small ball with Herb and Zion as the 4 and the 5. Willie Green's just going to have to work through some of the troubles of not having a center that everybody else is comfortable with.
Okay.
But Daniel Tice has looked great. Trey Jemison, when I talked to him, he said he might be the strongest person on the team. And that was before we seen a slimmed-down Zion. So this team has some options at center, and considering they're only going to need about 22, 24 minutes a night from a traditional center, I think they've got plenty of options over there. And if Carlo doesn't work out, I think Carlo will be your trade throw-in with, say, a Hawkins and a couple of second-round picks, and that's when you go get Kessler, in my opinion.
Yeah, so real quick, with the center position, that's a great point that you brought up, because the depth at guard and the depth at wing is elite. And then the center spot's a little bit of the question mark on this roster. But at the same time, yes, the small ball lineup's there. It seems like what Coach Green has been mentioning, though, throughout media day and obviously the first day of training camp, is that he's still kind of waiting and seeing how these lineups look and how these players kind of look when they're playing together, like on the floor, getting this live action throughout training camp and obviously into the preseason and stuff like that. But as far as, I want to ask you about the fluidity of it, because it feels like this could be a roster that will be putting out different starting lineups. Like, it's not going to be a set small ball lineup for every game that they play. There might be games where you have Daniel Tice as the starting five. Now, how many minutes will he play? I think that's a little bit of a different question. And you can also obviously debate the difference between the importance of a starting lineup versus a closing lineup. But I think it is something worth considering that, maybe it won't be a set five necessarily, that it could change a bunch.
Yeah, I think it'll be like three different starting lineups, mostly with Herb at the five or, Zion at the five, however they want to configure that small ball lineup and defend it. But there's going to be some nights you have to go a little bit bigger, because if you look at the conference, you got Wembanyama, you got Chet, You got AD still out there. Somebody's going to have to bang with you. Can't always go small. I'd hate to see AD and Herb go at each other because they both get injured. I mean, we both know that. So it's going to be two or three different starting lineups. I know Coach said he wanted to find a consistent one. But, yeah, it'll come down to that closing lineup. And the fluidity of it is you've got a bunch of guys who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". You shouldn't need a traditional center in the pace and space era. You don't need a big guy down there blocking shots. You just need somebody that can alter shots, that can contest shots. And if Trey's not that guy, he shouldn't get his money. But he's 6'9", according to Coach and Bryson Graham. According to Trey, 6'10".
Right.
But if Trey, if we want to give you that extra inch, you got to go do a little bit of extra effort down there and rebounding. I mean, that's the same thing what they said, not to change the subject too much. But Jordan Hawkins, that's about the only way he's getting on the court is rebounding. The only way Trey can go ahead and earn his money is to rebound and play a little bit more defense down on that low block. And if he can do that and then switch off from the weak side and then run the transition to that opposite corner three, I don't see any way to stop that. If Trey's playing good defense down low and then getting run out threes, it's over. It won't be close. You won't need a closing lineup. Your closing lineup will be three fans and two G Leaguers. That'll be fine.
Yeah, that's all you need when you have a 30-point lead. And we saw that at times last year, and specifically Trey Murphy and his rebounding. I thought it got better at the end of last season. Chris, I don't know if you kind of agree with that, but it felt like at times late in the season when, you know, they plugged him in kind of the smaller ball lineup, so to speak, that he did a great job and he held his own as far as a rebounder. But the thing that's so exciting about this roster is, you know, you talked about the athleticism and the length of some of these players. You mentioned Trey Murphy, but also Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, like all these wings that the Pelicans have. They have a glut of them, but they have all this length. And obviously DeJounte Murray getting added to the roster as well as kind of a bigger guard. It's just it's so enticing to see what this team can do defensively, which is obviously Willie Green's wheelhouse.
I'm glad you mentioned Trey getting better at rebounding. If y'all want to go back, clutchpoints.com. I just did something on the field goal percentages and how many shots per game will be taken and how that was going to break down. I'm also working on something looking at the core six, the big six is rebounding. And Trey did get better as a rebounder last year. He grabbed more rebounds per game over average. So for 80% of the time, he was a great rebounder. The times he got out-rebounded was every time we played Oklahoma City, including the playoffs, that four sweep, and against bigger teams like the Spurs. So he was a better rebounder in 80% of the games by a wide margin, but those 20% of the games you needed it, Trey kind of shrank. And I hate to say that, but that's just what the tape is showing me, and that's also what the numbers are showing me. Is he was great when the matchup was there for him, but if he had to work a little extra, it just wasn't happening. And I think he's realized that, and again, he's going to go into this season looking for something to prove.
Always appreciate your time, Chris, and your best guesstimation. What do you think is the ceiling for this Pel squad? I'm just hoping, obviously, we've talked about, I think, this a ton. I just want them to be out of the play-in tournament, be a top six team in the Western Conference. But overall, where do you think they is a realistic point they could ascend to? Is like a three seed possible for them?
Three is the absolutely highest I can give them. Oklahoma City is just going to run away with things. But the Clippers are going to fall. There's going to be some teams that fall. Minnesota's going to fall back to the pack. So I think 3, 4, 5 is possible. You could definitely be, you know, hosting a game 7 at home in the first round if you really needed it to. But, I mean, I think this team's fighting for 5 and 6. They're really going to be in a battle to get that last, you know, get out of that last playing spot and get into the top six. But, yeah, I could see a third seed coming out of this New Orleans team.
Thank you, Chris. You can follow him at DoingItDotson on Twitter. Also, check out his work at Clutch Points. Always appreciate the time, Chris. Have a great day, man.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Dotson covering the Pels for Clutch Points. Like I said, check out his work there.